Hello and welcome to this latest UK Defence Club Green Shipping podcast, where we keep you updated on the latest developments in the journey towards the decarbonisation of the shipping industry. I'm Philippa Langton, and in this podcast I'm going to focus on the EU's approach to decarbonisation, and in particular the recent Fit for 55 scheme, which has received much interest in the press lately. On the 14th of July, the European Commission adopted a series of legislative proposals aimed at reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and the scheme is known as the Fit for 55 package because it marks a key step towards the EU's aim to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by at least 55% by 2030 compared to 1990 levels. And within the Fit for 55 package, the proposals that are most notable for the maritime industry include measures to promote the use of alternative fuels within EU ports and some key amendments to the EU's Emissions Trading Scheme, or EU ETS. So firstly, let's take a look at the EU ETS and the changes which have been proposed under this Fit for 55 package. In a nutshell, the EU ETS is essentially a cap and trade scheme under which shipping companies will have to purchase and surrender ETS emission allowances for each tonne of reported CO2 emissions. And the scheme itself has been in existence since 2005, but it's going to be expanded to the maritime industry as of 2023. Draft legislation was published in December 2020, and the Fit for 55 package has now proposed certain amendments to that legislation. So the most notable points that are worth us looking at today include the following. Firstly, in relation to the responsibility for compliance with the scheme, it's now proposed that responsibility for obtaining the allowances should lie with the ship owner, manager or bareboat charterer, and there's no longer a reference made to the charterer. So parties wishing to allocate responsibility differently will need to address this in the applicable contracts, and we'll have a look at that in more detail later on. There's also clarity in relation to the reporting requirements, with the new proposal requiring the relevant shipping company to calculate and report the aggregate emissions on an annual basis. And another key amendment proposed by the Fit for 55 package is that the EU ETS will come in on a phased transition basis. Rather than coming in immediately with 100% coverage, companies will initially, starting from 2023, only be required to pay for 20% of a ship's emissions, and that will increase on an annual basis until it reaches 100% by 2026. And then finally, the other point which we think is worth noting is that penalties have been increased under the new proposal, and so it's currently anticipated that fines will be levied at €100 for every tonne of CO2 emitted over the allocated allowance. And ship owners should be aware that if an entity fails to surrender the requisite allowances for 2 years, then their ships may potentially be detained or denied entry to member state ports. So the consequences will be severe. Now, the second important point that's come out of the Fit for 55 package is the promotion of renewable fuels within the EU. The Fit for 55 proposal contains several schemes which are all aimed at encouraging the uptake of low carbon and renewable fuels. So looking at those in turn, firstly, the Fuel EU Maritime proposal sets increasingly strict limits on the overall greenhouse gas intensity of fuels used, and this is going to be phased in as well, starting with a 2% reduction in 2025 and increasing to 75% by 2050. And those targets are set by a reference to a value that reflects the fleet average greenhouse gas intensity of energy used on board a fleet's ships in 2020, and then reduced by that set percentage. Parties failing to comply with those targets could be required to pay a penalty, and the onus will be on the shipping companies themselves to comply, and that will be reflected in an extended reporting requirement under the EU's Monitoring, Reporting and Verification Regulations. Secondly, the EU proposes to update the Energy Taxation Directive to remove the current tax exemption on bunker fuels which are sold within and for use in the EU. So taxes will be introduced again on a phased basis over a 10-year period from 2023 onwards. And under the proposal, LNG would have a lower tax rate and ammonia and advanced biofuels would be tax exempt to encourage the use of those sustainable alternative fuels. And then thirdly, the Alternative Fuels Infrastructure Directive will set targets for increased LNG bunkering infrastructure and electric shoreside power supply to be installed within EU ports by 2030. Now, collectively, these schemes are no doubt going to have a significant impact on the cost and logistics of trading to, from and within EU ports over the next few years. So it's going to be really worthwhile for all parties to review any existing or future contract in this light so they can anticipate and address the associated costs and liabilities. When the EU ETS comes into force, for example, assuming owners remain primarily responsible, then owners will face the costs of compliance, which will include monitoring, verification and reporting of emissions, together with the costs of purchasing and managing allowances. Now, owners looking to pass some of those costs and liability to their charterers will need to consider incorporating suitable provisions into their charter parties. When drafting those clauses, parties should ensure there is alignment in terms of the party responsible for reporting and responsibility for obtaining allowances, and related contractual obligations will also need to be considered to ensure consistency up and down a chain of contracts, including management agreements and other associated contracts. Where responsibility for obtaining allowances and reporting is passed to charterers contractually, this should ideally be coupled with an indemnity from charterers in respect of any failure to comply. Alternatively, where responsibility and costs are retained by the owner, particularly under long-term charters, owners might wish to include an ability to review higher rates periodically to reflect the increased cost of trading into the EU. Charterers, meanwhile, might consider including an ability to cancel the charter if the emissions profile of the vessel is not acceptable. Of course, these are all points that are open to commercial negotiation, and each clause will be bespoke according to the individual requirements of the parties and the trade in question. It's worthwhile also considering that as there's potential for other regions to introduce their own equivalent schemes in the future, any emissions trading clauses that are agreed should ideally be wide enough to encompass any future schemes. Similarly, it would also be prudent for parties to consider incorporating provisions which clarify the responsibility for compliance with the Fuel EU greenhouse gas targets, particularly in the context of time charters where there's a mismatch between the party that supplies bunkers, the charterer, and the party that is directly responsible for reporting and compliance. And parties might also consider incorporating bunker adjustment factor provisions into their contracts to mitigate the effects of the potential price increases and fluctuations that are likely to result from the imposition of tax on bunkers and the other fuel-related measures. In addition, along with the increased use of new types of fuel in line with the promotion of greener alternative fuels, aside from the obvious technical considerations that will be relevant, suitable bunkering clauses, making provision for different sampling procedures and the resolution of quality and quantity disputes, should be incorporated into charter parties to reflect the bespoke requirements of new types of fuels. So the Fit for 55 package is still a proposal only, and it's presently unclear whether it will be passed into law. A certain amount of lobbying has already taken place in the industry, and further changes to the legislation may well be affected as a result. That remains to be seen. However, the broad framework is at least clear and inevitable at this stage, and so where possible, parties should therefore start factoring in these future changes when negotiating and drafting new charter parties. And here at the club, of course, we've been giving careful consideration to the contractual implications and will, as always, be happy to provide additional guidance to members where required. Please keep an eye out for our regular updates and get in touch if you have any particular questions that we can help with. In the meantime, I hope you found this podcast useful and hope you will tune into our next one in due course. Thanks for listening.